Welcome. Good to see everyone here this morning with smiling faces, and we've been being edified already, right? That's a blessing. I was looking this morning, and I couldn't see her. Is Rosetta here?
She's here.
She's downstairs right now. Well, maybe I'll have to share with her in a little bit later. I wanted to also just mention, we came home last night. The family, we had the privilege of being in Washington, D.C. for a couple days. We've made a friend up there. His name is Igor. He's a Catholic. He doesn't know the Lord yet. But over the years, we've gotten to know him some. He's one of those men that, we keep sharing with him. Actually, I think he'll be coming around in a couple months. He'll probably come around, and hopefully we can bring him to church. But he's a man that some years ago, he was threatening a lawsuit toward us, and you know how things go. Yeah, sometimes people get frustrated and things happen, and he was one of those who got frustrated and working with this store and that we deal with, and ultimately threatening a lawsuit toward us if we don't take care of him and all those kind of things. And anyhow, everything said and done, we tried to do what Jesus said in the book of Matthew, where it says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way. we endeavored to do that, and in the process of all that, we made a friend. and he needed some more furniture, so we had the privilege of taking some more furniture up to him and spending some time with him and his wife. He got married since then. He doesn't say a whole lot as far as what he works, but it has to do with Homeland Security. He's up there pretty good in that field of work, but he doesn't say a whole lot about that. But he's from Russia. His name is Igor. Do pray for him. We had a very good time there yesterday then, and we sang for him, but he'll be coming around here in a couple of months, and hopefully we can bring him to church. And so our desire is that there's a day coming that he would also come to the Lord. But he's very religious. He's very, very religious, but he's Catholic. Rosetta hasn't come up yet. That's okay. Well, we'll get her later, but I have to mention her a little bit since this is her last Sunday, you know. Could we spend some time praying together? Could we just kneel together and pray? Our great Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to be together this morning. We thank you for the great salvation that you have brought to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened those prison doors for us. We thank you for how you've brought freedom and liberty and your grace and peace upon our lives, and how many of us have been changed, and how you brought light into our eyes and understanding and just on and on, Lord. Your grace is upon us, and we thank you for that. Lord, this morning we are together as a local brotherhood. We know that there are saints scattered across the whole world, and we're only a small part, but we ask in Jesus' name that you might help us in this area, in this community, in this local fellowship, Lord, I ask that you would take us on to be more Christ-like. We ask, God, that you would fill us with the Holy Ghost. Would you come and draw us to yourself? Would you come and take us on to another new heights, Lord? We ask that you would deal with those things that are still in our hearts that are not right. We ask, Lord, that you would come and help us to become all that you have for us, Lord. God, we many times we're so narrow-sighted and we see only right where we are, but Lord, help us to see beyond where we are today and to reach for new heights. We ask that you would bring just a deeper breaking, a deeper humility, a stronger faith, a repentance. Just your work in our hearts. Whatever you need to do, Lord, to keep us on that straight and narrow path, we welcome that. Lord, as a church and as individuals, we welcome that. Come and work those things within us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Keep us in the hallow of your hand. And Lord, give me thoughts as I share. I pray for the anointing of your Spirit, that you would just speak to all of us here today. Give me clear thoughts and the ability to communicate. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want to embarrass you, Rosetta, but I have to tell you that we'll miss you. You've been faithful here, and we'll miss you a lot. I know you'll be, you know, a couple hours away, but you'll come back, I'm sure. But wish you the Lord's blessings as you go, and your last Sunday here before you get married and move off. But our hearts will go with you, and we'll come visit you too. I trust everyone here will sometime go see her in Iowa. Yeah, Lord's blessings to you. If you could open your Bibles for an opening scripture to the book of 1 John. The title that I'm going to give this morning is just simply Young Men. And I'd like to speak very specifically to the young men this morning. And it's for everyone to listen in on, and it's for everyone. It's the Word of God, so it's for us all, but I'd like to focus it toward the young men. Before we do that, could we have all the young men that are ages 14 and over, would you stand to your feet, that are not married? All the young men, 14 and over. Good. Very good. Well, you may sit down. Thank you. You're the ones that will be speaking to most directly, but it's for all of us. I'd like to start reading. And this is not the text, but I'd like to start reading in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 13, where it says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men. So this is specifically addressed to the young men. And there are, if you go through scriptures, there is quite a few that are specifically, it mentions the young men, the young men, the young men. And I'd like to focus more specifically then on Titus chapter 2. But right here it says, I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Thank God for that. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now that's a mouthful, right? I really like that. Let me read those verses again. Young men, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. There's something about young men have strength. I marvel at that. I sort of remember back when I was a young man, and I'm still a young man, at least at heart. And it's sort of interesting. Young men get together, and sometimes they like to sort of arm wrestle. You know how they do? Hey, they like to arm wrestle, see who has the most strength. And, you know, there's just various of those types of things that young men enjoy doing, because there is a strength in youth that is a blessing from God. I'm not as strong as I used to be one day, but there's strength in young men. Here it says, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Seems like for young men, there are challenges and things that come your way that you need to rise up and become strong in the faith. It's as you're developing in your Christian life, in your walk with the Lord, there are times when you face very strong challenges. And in your learning how to walk, you need to rise up and become strong in the Lord. Here it says, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. And we'll read a number of verses here. And what I'd like to do are our scriptures, or the text of what I'd like to speak about, comes out of these scriptures in Titus chapter 2. And we'd like to just simply go down through here and draw out the things that is being encouraged. This letter was written to Titus, and Titus was a young man. I don't know how old he was, but it was written to Titus. And in the end of these verses, I'd like to just specifically highlight what it says here in verse 15 of chapter 2. It says, these things, now the things we're going to talk about this morning, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And he said, Titus, I want you to teach these young men. I want you to speak to them. I want you to exhort them and give them understanding, so they can, as young men, they can become mature and rooted and grounded in the word. Reprove, rebuke them with all authority. And he said, do this. Okay, now let's start reading in verse 6 of Titus chapter 2. It says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I like to just one at a time, these little phrases that he inserts here in speaking to the young men, I'd like to just look at them. Because I think it's good for us to, when we are in our daily life, young men, and we're working or we're associating with others or we're by ourselves, we consider very closely how God would have us walk. I reflect back on my own life and I look at the things that really helped me become rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in Him. You know some of the things that I remember that really helped me, young men? As a young man, I remember having those times, not every day, but just from time to time, I would have these times where I would go and I would find a place all by myself, away from everyone else, and I would just tell God all about life, all about the things I struggle. And I would pray and I would just lay myself open before God and I would say, God, I want to serve you. I don't know how to do all that, but would you please help me? Would you please help me, God? I want to live for you. I want to dedicate my whole life to you, but I don't know how to live. Would you please help me to do that? I remember back, and I know that those times that I took quietly, all by myself, when no one else was around, and then just pouring out my heart to God and committing myself to Him like that, I know that those things helped me in ways that nothing else has helped me. Yes, there's the prayers of my parents. Yes, there's the prayers of the church. Yes, there's the encouragement of the brothers and all those things. But I'd like to just encourage you, young men, do that from time to time. I'm not talking about every day. Yes, you need to talk to God every day, okay? But I'd like to just encourage you, young men. In your young days, you go all by yourself and you just talk to God. You pour out your heart to God and you commit yourself to God in that way. And God will continue to help you grow. At the time, I looked to, or at that time when, you know, when those things were happening, I can't say that at that time I could just feel myself growing. But as time went on and I look back, those things, I look back and I remember, oh, I used to struggle in those areas and now I've overcome. See, I used to, have this struggle and that struggle and you know, well, you know where you're at, young man. There are struggles that you have today that you're trying to find your way through life. And you need the help and assistance of your parents, the brothers and sisters in church, but there's something about being vitally connected to God Almighty. I'd like to just lift that up to you. Just take those times. I'm talking to you young men. Become strong. You become strong and you don't just feel strong all of a sudden. But it's as you do those things, there are things that will happen in your heart that God will strengthen you in the inner man and take you in places that you have not been before. And you, many times you won't see it at the time, but in, as time goes on, you'll look back and you'll realize, oh, I have grown. I've moved forward. God is working in me. He hasn't let go of me. He's still there, and I'm moving forward, and your faith becomes stronger in God. I'd like to just encourage you with that. Okay. We'll start here. In verse 6, it says, young man, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Now, let me just make it very clear up front that it does not mean walking around with a long face. It does not mean walking around and like you've lost your last friend. Sober means in your right mind and not out of control. Okay? Brother David mentioned here a little bit ago where that man that was, he had a little bit too much to drink, and that's probably what made him a little sleepy, okay? Now, he wasn't just all out drunk, but it made him a little bit sleepy to where he wasn't quite in his natural self, and he literally fell asleep behind the wheel, went across the median, and killed someone accidentally, okay? Soberness is when we are in control of ourselves. Okay? I just was reflecting back on my own life. And an instance specifically came to my mind where I feel that these verses, I was not a sober young man. Now, there was some of us together, some of us young men were together, and, you know, that's often when those things happen, when there's young men together by themselves, unsupervised, and one thing leads to another, okay? Do you know what I mean, young men? When you're sort of with a bunch of other young men, and one thing leads to the other, and anyhow, I remember the foolishness of us young men in the middle of a night going to a church family with rakes and just scratching on them to try to scare them. And I look back at that and I say, I wonder what was wrong with me. I remember that. And after we had done it, I hope not everyone would find out what we did. See, I can't say that I was a sober young man that night, okay? I can't say that. But here it says, I exhort likewise, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So in other words, young men, when things are happening, when things are going on, you're with others, consider. It's not talking about walking around with a long face. But consider the things that you're talking about and doing, whether they're godly or whether they're foolish. and you're getting out of control. You know what I mean? Don't let yourself get out of control where you do things that you normally wouldn't when others aren't around. Don't do that. Don't let yourself just get out of control. Here's the next one, a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works. If you look at most everyone here, everyone we sort of, you know, if we know someone fairly well, we sort of know them for something. Okay? Even in our family, you know, each one of our children, we sort of know them for something. They're known by something. Here it says, a pattern of good works. The question is, what, as a young man, what are you known for? That's a question. It says a pattern of good works. Young man, what are you known for? I think of, and I think Brother Joshua will allow me to do that. Where are you, Brother Joshua Hostetler? There he is, okay? As I think of Joshua, here are some things that I think of, okay? I think of a man that he loves God, okay? I think of the fact that he loves music. He loves to sing. He loves choir. I think of he loves his wife. I think of he's just a pleasant man that has a desire to serve God. Okay? And I think if we, all of you would sort of agree with that. You know, I think you'd just sort of agree with me that that's how it is. Okay? The question is, young man, what are you known for? What are you known for? When people think about you, what are you known for? Are you known for a pattern of godliness? Here it says, a pattern of good works. You should be known as having a pattern of good works. The things, because of your love of God, the things that are coming out of your life, there's a pattern of good works that you're known for, young men. Or are you known as one of those that he just loves to tear around? You know, get him out in a car and he's constantly speeding. You know, he's known as, he always speeds. Or is he known as just rough? Or is he known as he's overbearing when it comes to hunting, and he's overbearing in some of those carnal things that in and itself might not be wrong, but things are out of proportion. Okay? The question is, young men, what are you known for? When people observe your life, there ought to be something coming out of your life that is an example of godliness. Here it says, a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works. And if those things that are there today are not where they ought to be, maybe you need to make some adjustments and changes in your life. Maybe you need to specifically make changes in your desires after God and the things you pursue after. Because we want to do what we're instructed to in the Word of God, don't we, young men? We sure do. We want to be one that has a clear testimony coming from every area of our life. You want your life to reflect Jesus Christ. You want your life to be such that there's no questions. You're above reproach. You want your life to be a pattern of good works, blessing others, that others will be blessed and encouraged by your life. Here's another one. In doctrine, uncorruptness. In doctrine, uncorruptness. Well, young men, you're in a good church, aren't you? I mean, you ought to have everything together, and you ought to have know what you believe, and you ought to, Scripture tells us that we need to be personally rooted and grounded in the Word. We need to know what we believe personally. Young men, I like to encourage you, know what you believe. I like to encourage you, young men, if there are things you don't know, go ask your father. You know, I I try to teach our sons, and we've got seven. I try to teach our sons, but sometimes I don't get a, you know, you don't make that circle, and there are things that we miss. There are things that I sometimes take for granted. You know, these are things that I've believed and taught and understood, and all of a sudden my sons might not know everything that I believe, you know, and there are things that I take for granted. Young man, I encourage you, become active in asking questions. Asking questions. So what do you believe about being full of the Holy Ghost? Well, I believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost, don't you? Well, how does that practically work in my life? How does that change me? You know, there's all kinds of things that we might assume that, you know, we have because we've been sitting in church for umpteen years. Young men, become rooted and grounded in the Word. Ask questions. Take interest. Read the Word of God. Find for yourself.
And the Word of God will just continue to bloom and blossom and grow in your life. And become rooted and grounded in the Word. It says in doctrine, uncorruptness. Become rooted in what is the truth, so you're not easily swayed. This is the time to learn, young men. Young men, now's the time. Don't wait till you have white hairs to come to some of these conclusions. Now's the time. Search the Scriptures. Have discussions. Talk among yourselves, young men. Talk among us all together. It's a blessing, even on a Sunday morning, to have wonderful conversations about what the Lord's doing in my life and about Scriptures that we don't quite understand and what does that mean. And we might not even come to all the conclusions, but we are pressing into it and we are becoming rooted in the Word of God. Here's another one. Gravity. What does gravity mean? Is it that stuff that pulls us down to the earth? We were at the National Air and Space Museum, and we saw the spaceships up in the air where the people just float around and there's no gravity. Is that the gravity it's talking about? Gravity, this is what it means. The characteristic of a thing or a person which entitles to reverence. Now listen to this. This is gravity. It entitles to reverence, respect, dignity, majesty and sanctity, honor and purity. Oh, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I want to be a young man like that. That's quite a bit different than just a foolish, flippant young person. It's very, very different than that. Now, let me read that description again. This is specifically addressed to the young men. A young man that is reverent, there's respect, there's dignity, there's majesty and sanctity, there's honor and purity. That's the meaning of gravity. I want to be a young man like that. I want God to work that in my heart. I want to become a man that has those qualities in my heart. But you know what it means, young men? It means that there are specific things that we turn away from and turn to in order for those qualities to be within us. So as life goes on, there's certain choices that we're going to need to make, young men, where we turn away and turn to and embrace. And as the Spirit of God becomes more strong in our heart and our faith becomes stronger, those qualities will start emanating and coming out. Exhort the young men that they live a life of gravity. Let me just read those words again. Reverence, respect, dignity, majesty, sanctity, honor, and purity. I know the Lord is, even this morning, He's bringing to mind things that I have done that doesn't represent what gravity means. And so it means that there's a shift that we're going to need to make in order for these qualities to be coming out of my life. In order to free us so that the grace of God can become more prominent in my life. Gravity. Here's another one. Sincerity. And I love that word. Sincerity. He's just such a sincere young person. I just appreciate his heart. I mean, he's there. His heart is turned toward God. He loves God. His heart is after God. He's not flippant. His heart is turned toward God. Sincerity means incorruption, purity, sincerity, uncorrupt, not corrupt, but just simply pure, holy, Christ-like, just real. There's no facade or cover over top. It's just, he's a real person. He's very sincere. Young man, you want to be one of those? I do. You want to be one of those? Need to move forward quickly here. Here's another one. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. I think of a thing that happened many years ago. When we were together as a youth group. And I remember there being a man or a fellow youth who somehow in his, I don't know what, but he came to my brother and he rebuked my brother for some, what I will say, things that my brother was doing out of the sincerity of his heart in trying to obey God and his word. He rebuked my brother for doing what was right, and he said he was too young to be doing those kind of things. And they were godly things. And I very clearly remember driving home that night. We always had a half hour to drive, at least a half hour. And I remember driving down the road and my brother sitting in the back seat and him just crying uncontrollably because of the inconsiderate remarks that were made toward the things that my brother was trying to do out of the sincerity of his heart. And I look at these words where it says, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sometimes, young men, we make these remarks because we think it's sort of the thing to do. Maybe the, you know, whatever it might be. But we don't know what we're saying. We don't know what we're doing. We're just doing things. It says, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Young man, God would have us consider carefully the words we speak. Whether they're considerate of others, whether they're glorifying to God,
whether it lifts up the name of Jesus, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Here's another one. Obedient to their own masters. This is a big one, young men. Young men there's a day coming when there's going to be more authority or more leadership going to be turned over to you, young men. There's a day coming when you will have a role beyond what you have today. Whether it's in your home where you'll lead a family, or whether it's at work, or wherever it might be, there's a day coming when you will receive more responsibility. And there's a lot of young men who don't grasp or get a hold of this whole concept of being obedient unto their masters, of learning to respect your employers. You know, for many, many of us, we work for someone, whether it's your father or whether it's some other employer, whoever it might be. Scripture says, obedient unto their own masters. To where, actually it says here, there's two things that it specifically mentions. It says, to please them well and not answering again. So there's obedience, pleasing them, and not answering again. Most of the time when someone gets dismissed from their job, it's not because of their work, but it's because of some other character issues that they have an issue or a problem with. Consider carefully, young men, if you become an employer ever, or if you become a husband and a father, if you have not learned these qualities now as a young man, you're going to be a very difficult husband. You're going to be a very difficult employer. You're going to have a hard time for others to relate to you if you have not learned these things as a young man and learned to give yourself. You're going to have a very difficult time in the years to come. So, when your employer asks you to do something, sometimes he asks things that are very difficult and you don't like to do them. It's the dirty work. It's the thing that I've never liked to do it. And so you just try to get around it and push the work on other people. That's not being obedient. It's not pleasing your master well. I like to encourage us young men. If we have employers, the scripture tells us to obey them. It tells us to please them well. Find out what they really want and try to do things that please them. Whether it's your father as your employer, or whether it's someone else that you're employed by, you learn these qualities of obedience, pleasing them well, and not answering again. Here's another one, and it comes right into the same area. It says, not purloining. And many times we read over that word and we don't know what it means. Not purloining. It means holding back oneself. And it comes right into the same category of employment, where there are things that we just sort of hold back. We don't fully engage in giving ourselves in working to our fullest. Whether it's work, we just work for everything we have. We just give it all we have for our employer because he's my employer, and I'm getting paid. And it's amazing as an employer, and you start doing numbers. There's such a huge difference if you have a man that just applies himself halfway, and he likes to doodle dawdle and spend time away, you know, just half, you know, working half-heartedly, or whether someone applies himself. There's such a huge difference on the numbers at the end of the day as to what really, how much money you actually made for your employer. But many feel like, well, my employer owes me everything. There's many in today's society, there is this mentality that my employer owes me everything. And I don't owe him anything. Well, that's a very wrong mentality. We owe everything. We need to give everything and work and give everything we have, not purloining. Purloining means drawing back. We need to give everything we have. And this is why, in verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things. Let me tell you, if there's a young man that's working and he's just giving it everything he has, he's giving it everything he has and he's working faithfully, there is a testimony that comes abroad for Christ Jesus. There is. There's a public testimony that goes abroad that honors God. Recently, I had the privilege of talking to a man, and he was telling me about a young man that he had hired. And this is what he told me about this young man. Listen to this. He said he's very diligent. He said he gives it all he has. He said he has a great attitude when he receives correction. Why is his employer saying that? Here's some more things that he said. He said he doesn't complain. He said he loves God. And he said he is respectful. And this is what this employer told me. He said it stands out because I can't say that about a lot of my others, even though they're Christians. Imagine that. This is what that employer told me. He said he hired this guy, and this is what he told me. Let me just go over these again. Because it stood out, and it's not purloining, and it's adorning the doctrine of Christ. And actually, he said this. Because of this young man, there's a testimony among the whole workforce with all this. There's a testimony that's floating around because of all this. Listen again. He's very diligent. He gives it all he has. He has a great attitude when correction is given. He doesn't complain. He loves God and he's respectful. And he said, most of my people here are Christians, but there's very few that I can say this about. Young man, not purloining. Here's another one. The grace of God that teaches us, so we're living a godly life, Now the grace of God is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and justly in this wicked and perverse nation. Now listen, denying ungodliness. Young men, you are going to be tempted with ungodliness. There's going to be temptations that come your way that you're going to need to deny. You're going to need to say no to. You're going to need to make a decision that by the grace of God, I cannot go there. You deny yourself. There's sins of the flesh, projecting oneself. There's ungodliness. There's immorality. There's all kinds of wickedness that you can give yourself to. And you purposefully, because you have the grace of God in your heart, you're able to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Young men, denying worldly lusts. There are things that are worldly lusts, young men, that seem cool, and everyone and all the you know, the young ungodly people, they love, but those that are full of the Holy Ghost don't love. Worldly lusts, the coolness of life, coolness of dress, coolness of speech, all the entertaining stuff that's going on around us, all that that frivolous entertainment, sports, and the list goes on and on and on. There's some things that in and itself can have a right place, but the heart so easily goes after all these things. Young men, you're going to need, through the grace of God, come to the place where you put aside these worldly lusts and just simply say no to the cool dress, the cool hair fads, the cool sports, you know, there's hunting, there's, you know, you can spend gobs and gobs of money on hunting and cars and on and on and on. The list just goes on and on. The question is, where is your heart bent toward? What would God have you to do and become? Where does God want you to move toward? You know, young men, even things like when you're out in your truck and there's no one around and you just sort of, it just feels good and you just put that gas pedal down and the speedometer just keeps on going and it just keeps on going up because it feels good. No one's watching. Did you know that's a worldly lust? It is. It is. You know, those things are worldly lusts. And there's a reason. There's a reason that insurance is higher for young men than it is for young ladies. Because some of those things are just within us, young men, right? But consider, what is a testimony that will adorn the doctrine of Christ and lift up Christ's name? And what are the things that will have a horrible testimony for the name of Christ? The urge to spend money on temporal things and living only for today. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they might adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us